the storms of life like my Lord. You give rest to the weary, give new life to the hopeless. There's no doubt about it.
You're my Lord, there is no other one can calm the storms of life like my Lord. You give rest to the weary, give to the hopeless. There's no doubt in your my Lord. Would you bow with me, please, Heavenly Father? That's true. Just the truth. There's so much to be thankful for just in you. All that we have need of, all that's calling us, all the desires of our heart, everything that you put a longing in us for, you're the answer to all of that. Only you can fill it. Only you can take us there. Only you can redeem us. Only you can restore us. But we're totally satisfied that you brought us to you. Even that is your work. Even that is your enlightenment in our souls. Even that is your grace. Even that is your mercy. Oh, how we love you, Father. Just tonight, let us take one little step towards you. Just one more little baby step maybe, but may we draw closer. Not to, but into that which you have for us, Lord. I ask it for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. You may be seated. Well, you guys got me tonight, so everybody else is gone. And I have a chapter that I have been mulling over. Very simple one. For such a long time, and the Lord put it on my heart to bring it. Well, then I struggled. I've been struggling for days. How do I bring it? It's that kind of a chapter that when I bring something to you, even this tonight, you can retreat within yourself and look at yourself and not look at him and say, I have no hope. And get all discouraged and disappointed and say, why did I even go to church? And then I was asking the Lord for a couple days here now, well, what? How do you want me to bring this? It's Luke chapter 6, so it's nothing deep. Just so I waited and waited on the Lord, and yesterday or last night I finally came to the point. I said, okay, I'll do something different. I just can't do it. So he said, yes, you're going to do it. So today he said, I'll tell you how I want you to do it. So this is how I feel the Lord wants me to approach this. So we're we're in a season where the Lord is putting us each in a world with him. Now, that's not old people, that's young 12-year-olds, 18-year-olds, 13-year-olds, 8-year-olds. Are you 9? 10? Oh, good grief. What happened to you? Already. Okay, so let me ask you guys, the young ones. What do you know about Enoch, Noah? Seth? 1, 2, 3, 4? What? ABC. Oh, yeah, that's what Derek said. I do this wrong. I should give multiple choice questions. That's the new way of it. Eliana, who was Enoch? My goodness, that's very good. And why is that important to us? Zoe? Who can help Zoe out? Pete? What's he have to do with us today? He's a type of what? Type of the bride. What does that mean, Seth? Yeah, and he was an example of what the bride will be. So if he's an example of where the bride would be, where is that? What kind of life? He had a testimony. What kind of a testimony did he have, Pete? He pleased God. What pleases God, Debbie? Without blank, it is impossible to please him. Janelle, faith. Without faith, it's impossible. So he had lots of faith. What is another word for faith that Brother Branham gave us for this day? Revelation. So he had lots of revelation and he walked in it. And he went for an afternoon walk one time, Seth. And the Lord spoke to him and he said something to him. What did he say? Noah? You're closer here than there. So just come on over. Now, how many times did Brother Branham tell us that we're blending with eternity, right? Didn't he say in Future Home that we'll be walking right into eternity? Isn't that what Enoch did? So, is this just for old people? What about you guys? 14, 15, 16. Even you? Wow. Do you think he can do that? Does he love you? Does he care about you? Does he want to take you home with him? Does he want to deliver you out of this world? So he's calling us. And in that call, he says, he has a story about an eagle and it was born in the wrong place. Where was that little eagle egg? Yeah. Do eagles belong in chicken coops? Where do eagles belong, Seth? In the sky. What do chickens do? Do you ever see a chicken look up? Where are chickens looking? Down. Doing what are they doing looking down? Looking for picking seeds and bugs. That's what they live on. So their eyes are always fixed on dirt, earth. Eagles said, you don't belong in the chicken yard. You belong to another place, okay? So we're going to look tonight at Luke 6 via two other scriptures with that mind that maybe the Lord's trying to take each one of us. Here's where it can be depressing. Look at my life. Look at the demands of this realm. Look at what's calling my attention down here. Men, women, doesn't make any difference, right? Does that get you down? It's all down, can't it? Did God know you were going to be planted here in Laodicea? Okay. Did he tell you that maybe he'd take you out of Laodicea? Did he tell you he was going to redeem you? Did he tell you he was going to take you home? So what word is stronger? The word that's in your mind when you come to these things, oh, I can't, I am trapped. Are you really trapped? Or do you think you're trapped? And who tells you you're trapped? Did God tell you you're trapped? Who tells you you're trapped? Down here, down in this realm. The enemy. So, let's fight him back, okay? So, how I'm going to approach Luke 6 is through this. Call that we've had so many times talking about kingdom eyes and kingdom ears. And the more every single day that grows on me, it doesn't go away, it just becomes stronger. Because I believe that's what Enoch had, didn't he? Was he looking at that kingdom, God's word? Or was he concentrating on everything down here? Now, Noah, you like to build things. He built things. Do you know what Noah, what Enoch built? Who knows? Zoe, do you know? Have you ever heard of the pyramids? You seen pictures of the pyramids? Where are they? Seth? Yeah. And there's one called the Great Pyramid. And you know who built that? Enoch. Amazing, huh? So even though he was building something on earth, what he was building represented something in another realm. So everything that he was looking at in the physical, even though he was doing physical things, his mind were on what those things represented. You with me? Okay. So kingdom, kingdom eyes, kingdom ears. So tonight we're going to talk about the kingdom life. And look at some scriptures. Open your Bibles, please, would you? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Boy, it's been a long time since we've been in the book of Hebrews, huh? A day or two. Hebrews. And we'll use this for a text. So would you stand with me again? It's good because if I get you up and down once in a while, it'll wake you up. First two verses is all, okay? Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Thanks. You may be seated. Okay. I'm going to take a couple points here. Number one. Why does he start out that? Seeing we are compassed about, how do you pronounce that? I'm always confused. Compassed. Compassed? Yeah. Huh? I've heard it both ways. By so great a cloud of witnesses. Who are those cloud of witnesses? Who was he just talking about? He spent a whole chapter on what? Chapter 11 is on, Janelle? Faith. and the people of faith. And he said, these people are witnesses to us because they cannot be finished or complete without God working what he's going to work in us. So somehow we are surrounded by this, and they are witnessing the work that God is doing in us. True? They are witnesses to what God is doing to finish this course of redemption. Okay, number two. Before we go continue, we have to look at the spiritual scene. And look at what is going on. What is Paul trying to say is, and look at the background of the words instead of the words himself. What is in the scene? What is in the heart of Paul? What is in the heart of God bringing us to this place? Paul is seeing the redemptive work of God here, and he had to come in the form of flesh to redeem us back to himself, fully restored to what was in his mind before the world began. We know that. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. In other words, according to Irenaeus, God being a savior predestinated us to be sinners to give himself purpose and reason of being. Okay, how did God do that? In doing so, the Lord Jesus had to come to this realm. So Hebrews 10, you got your Bible still, we'll be using it quite a bit tonight. Verse 5. Wherefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest, but a body you have prepared for me. Where was he when he was said, responded to the Father and he said, you've prepared for me a body? Where was he? And what stage was he in, and what condition was Jesus in? He was Word. He was Logos. What's the difference between Logos and God? No, there isn't any. He is God. Everything that God is, he is, right? Do you think he liked being that? What could be better? But then he said, a body you prepared for me, okay? And then in verse 7, lo, I said, in the volume of the book it is written me, I come to do your will. What a statement. Where am I going to go? Was he acquainted with flesh? Did he know what that flesh meant? I remember Brother Branham in one of his sermons talking about the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and the Holy Spirit, the Father speaking to the Son. He says, Son, do you want to go through with this? You know what's ahead of you, don't you? You know what they're going to do to you, don't you? He said, I know. What does it mean? Pain, heartache, lots of pain, lots of heartache. So here before the world began, here is him saying, I'm making this decision. I have to come into this realm. I'm using the word realm a lot, and some of us, we could replace that with dimension, because I'm thinking dimensions, physical realm, spiritual realm. Does that make sense to us? Okay. So, in redemption, he had to leave the realm of glory. There was nothing there but God. So, if there's nothing there but God, there's nothing there but perfect love. Because you can't get in there without perfect love. So, what is there but perfect love? Right? So, he came from there and he came into the flesh and he said, okay, I'm going to take on this flesh. And I know what that flesh means. That flesh is for one purpose. For me to suffer, for me to die. He says, I'll still do it. Isn't that incredible? Again, the depth of the love of our Savior is so amazing. So when he said that, he comes into this realm, the realm of fallen man, to experience the world of the fall, to bring us out of it. Make sense? He had to come, as it was prophesied of him, Isaiah 53, I have to experience the words of Isaiah. I have to know what it's like to be a root out of dry ground, unattached, misunderstood, ununderstood, not received. I have to be despised. I have to be rejected. I come into this realm, as we've said so many times before. If you look into the scripture, of every man and woman of God, the prophets. Was this realm friendly to Isaiah? Was it friendly to Elijah? Was it friendly to Jeremiah? Did he like it down here? Which of the prophets have they not killed? Isn't that what the scripture says? Okay, so he had to be a man of sorrows. He had to be a man acquainted with grief, and because of the prophecies and what was written of him, he knew what was that body was for these things. So as we have, we know that this realm, this physical dimension, is for trials, it's for persecution, it's for rejection. True? Spreads over into us, does it not? It's not for fun. Brother Branham says, this is trying ground, this is a proving ground, this whole life is a Kadesh. Didn't he tell that to us? Okay. So God's realm, in contrary, is in his eternal realm. It's his spirit, is for revelation and for identification and of love. Now, I can go to point two. That's the background. Paul sees all of this, experiences it, and he tells us, he says, lay aside every weight. Okay, Pete, where does that weight come from? Does it come from God's realm or this realm? There you go. Lay aside every weight. That weight comes from this realm. And the surrounding sin, okay, unbelief, the sin. Don't be encumbered by it, but be, okay, lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily. Where does this unbelief come from? Is that this realm or God's realm? Okay. So Jesus came into this realm. I'm going to ask you, Linnell, did he love this realm? I don't think he did, do you? In some ways he did for us, but did he enjoy being here, being rejected? Did he enjoy being despised? Did he enjoy being not deceived? Was it fun? Okay, next question. Did he long to be set free from this realm? Oh, yeah. Okay, hold your hands there. Go to John 17. Okay. Noah, read verse 5 for us, would you? Yep. And Sophie's going to read verse 24. John 17. And you're going to read verse 5.
And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was.
He liked that. He liked that glory that he had with the Father, and he wants to go back to it. Right? And even now, glorify me with you, because you from that coming to me at this point is exactly what I need. I need something from your realm, your eternal realm of divine love, to come to be my strength to get me through this so I can go back there. Sophie, verse 24. There you go. He wants us. Oh, I don't want you to see me like this. I want you to see it like I really am, like I was eternally, and like you are going to be with me eternally. And I want you to see that, and I want you to see the real me. And he longed to be rid of this sinful flesh in this realm. Come on, stop and think about it. He came from glory, and he came into pain, and he came into a body, and that body was in a humiliated condition, okay? As he grew, it probably had growing pains. Maybe he had a toothache. Remember the Prince of the House of David, where it talks about healing somebody and he's sitting down on a rock groaning because he has a headache so bad? Do you remember Brother Branham talking about that? It wasn't kind to him, was it? So there's something in him longing to be delivered from this realm, going back to that realm. Are you with me so far? In this realm, it's for testing and it is for trying, it is for pain, it is for assaults, for everything, for trials. But that's not what he longed for and he wants us, but he would not leave this realm without us. Is that love? Amazing love. Okay. So, his life and his ministry was always directing or redirecting the eyes of God's seed from this realm towards his. That's my approach to Luke 6. Okay? Let me say it again. So his life, Jesus's, his ministry, his words, was always directing or redirecting the eyes of God's seed from this realm toward his, because we get so locked into this dimension, we got so locked into this, oh, it's busy, this is my life is my work, my life is this. No, your life is not that. Let's go beyond. Because Satan will use that to trap you into this dimension and lock you into it. How many people do you know? How many people do you work with? How many people are you surrounded by that because of their non-election, they're locked into this dimension and that's all the only reality that they know, right? Okay. All right. That was point two. Long point. Point three. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Okay. Why does he bring in a race? And Paul refers to the work of the gospel in this physical realm as a race. So, where is that? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So that's our next one. So let's turn there. And we're going to read verses 16 through 27. So here is Paul. He's in this realm, and the Holy Spirit was directing his eyes and his vision, and he thought he had it all together and he didn't have anything together. And the Lord revealed himself and said, well, it's in a whole dimension different than this physical sight. It's in a whole dimension that doesn't have anything to do with this temple here or these Sadducees or these Pharisees or this realm or these men's orders or these men's thought. But there's a gospel and he's good news and he's given it to me to tell there's something beyond what you see here. With me? Okay. So read with me 1 Corinthians 9, 16 to 27. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity, look at this, here's what is, necessity has laid hold upon me. What's the next phrase? Yea, woe is to me. Is he having a good time? Is he enjoying it? He is enjoying it in the spiritual realm, but the flesh is trying. You with me? Okay. If I preach the gospel, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. Just like Jesus, I come to do thy will. I'll take it. I'll endure it. I don't like it. It's not fun. But I know I have to go through this to get to that. So here tonight, can you say with me? I know I have to go through this to get to that. But the point is we're going through it. Through it, okay? So then the next phrase, woe is unto me, okay? For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. That's to my expense. Is that fun? What a man. He very well could have, hey, the apostle's here, pass the offering plate, I deserve it. No, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. Why? What's the next phrase? That I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself what? There you go. Who likes being a servant? What position he is in? He put himself in the same position as Jesus put himself. I come to be a servant. I come to not be chargeable. I come to serve, to give. That's it. That's the spirit of Christ. You with me? Okay. Why did he do this? I made myself a servant of all what? That I might. So that kind of a life attracts instead of repels. You with me? Okay. And unto the Jews I became a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law is under the law that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law is without the law. Be not without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak, I become weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might be all by all means save some. How was this? Was that easy for him? I'm here, and I will do anything I can to identify with your where you're at in your struggles, in your life, so that I can help you out of that to come to the gospel of Jesus. Quite a man, right? There's so many things about him. He's what an example of ministry, right? Okay, and this I do for the gospel's sake, verse 23, that I might be partaker there with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race, there it is, run the race, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery is what? Here's the key word of all things heading towards Luke, okay? If I want to win the prize, if I'm one of these things that's going to win this prize and I'm going to overcome this world, I'm temperate in all things. What does the world does that mean, Zoe? That's hard. So your dad's going to explain it to you and to us. To be temperate in all things. Yeah. Not be what? What else, Pete? There you go. I'm not going to be under the influence of all things and let it consume me. I'm going to have everything in control. What kind of control? Control of the Holy Spirit. Does that help? Okay. So if I want to win this race, Noah, I can't just go get it. My life totally involved where all my eyes and all my passions are consumed with this life only. I have to have something in my life that I'm under the control of the Spirit. Does that make sense? Okay. That's what he's telling us. Temperate in what things? That's quite a mouthful, isn't it? Okay. Now they that do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible, I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I in this race, not as one that beats the air, but here's a strange wording that Nate's going to help us out with. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Why would you keep under your body? If I'm trying to hang on to something, but if I'm lifting it up, what can the body that I'm lifting up do but just flail and go nowhere? Can't do anything, right? Okay. I keep under my body and bring it to what? What kind of subjection? Subjection to who? Holy Ghost. Lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself to be a what? In other words, this subjection, this moderation in all things, this thing in this life as a minister of the gospel, I have to put myself in if I'm going to win the prize. So What did we hear in Hebrews? Run the race. Okay? Now here Paul is saying, I was taught of God. Right? Everything of this realm, of this dimension, was to be endured. Even the burden of my fleshly body, true or not true, to bring God's seed out of it and into God's eternal realm. I have to do this to reach people, to bring them from this realm to His. Same way we were in Hebrews 12. Does that make any sense? I lost you, didn't I? Okay. The realm that he's living in and the realm that he's preaching in is, there's troubles. Go read 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Full of troubles, full of hurts. How many times was he in prison? How many times was he beaten? How many times did he take about the care of the church? It's not fun down here, but I have to preach the gospel in such a way that I have to bring people through this race to the good news. What is the good news? Redemption. He's taken me out of here. Okay, you with me there? Okay, now he says, I have to do this, and I have to, if I'm going to run this race, I have to be in a position, not just telling people, but I have to be moderate. I have to be under control. I have to be under the control of the Holy Spirit in all things. I have to even keep my body in subjection under all things. So I can't let this realm control what I am or who I am or how I live. Now, does that make sense? Okay. So he was taught of God. God teaches all of his children. Everything in this realm is to be endured. True? Even the burden of his fleshly body to bring God's, he did this, he lived this way to bring God's seed out of it and into God's eternal realm. This life, this work is like unto a race where only one will receive the prize, and it's a small group of elected who are given eyes to see and ears to hear the realm from eternity. Now, going back to Hebrews 12, number 4, okay, the last point here. Run this race. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race set before us. How are we supposed to run this race of this life? What are the next three words of verse 2? Seth? 12:2, first three words. There you go. I like the way Weiss translates it there. He says, looking off and away to Jesus, who is the originator and perfecter of our faith. Okay, look, that's how I'm supposed to run. I'm supposed to keep my look away. Away from what? This realm, and look away from this realm and to Jesus. Is Jesus in? Okay. He's the Holy Spirit calling you out of it into Him. You kids, Jesus, you can feel Him, can't you, Zoe? That's Him from that realm. The thing that you feel in your heart. Right, honey? Okay. That's there. That's what I'm talking about right there. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, I'm looking away to Jesus, so we're going back to the Gospel of Luke. Turn there with me, please. And we're going to start at verse 12, chapter 12, excuse me, just to review a couple of verses. Because I have to run looking away from this realm and looking to Jesus, and Jesus says, don't pay any attention to this realm. Now, that's how he lived. He was in it, but not of it. And he tells you, Debbie, you're in it, but not of it. John 14, right? You are in the world, but you are not of the world. Right, Nate? Does he, what he tells? So here a man comes up to him. We've gone over this. Chapter 12, verse 13 to 15. And one of his company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he might divide the inheritance with me. Does that sound totally reasonable? That's to me. Come on, this jerk of my brother isn't giving me my share, what should be rightly mine, and I got my whole life, and this would really help me out. Come on, you guys, true or not true? I'll go to Jesus. He'll help me. He knows my need. Right? So Jesus says, hey, guy, you're looking at the wrong thing. What? You're not supposed to be looking at this. Do you realize, Jesus, the condition and the situation that I'm in? Do you know how much that would help me? Do you know what a struggle this life is? Do you know how much that help from my dad, the piece of land of, you know, some olive trees or this or that or anything else? Do you know how much that would help? He says, I'm not here to help you in this realm. Now, first bull. He does help us in this realm, does he not? Does he not heal? Did he not prove his love for that? But what is he saying to this man that's different? He says, you're looking at the wrong thing. I'm not here. Master, my brother, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said, and a man who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto him, whoa, hey, Pete, come on. You went to Jesus and you needed help and you know your this life is a struggle. And what if he said these words to you? Hey, Pete, beware of covetousness. Well, how would you feel? Would you like it? I wouldn't. I'd have to get beyond my humanness, and my humanness, I would be tripping over all the way to Jericho, probably. Do we all have humanness that we need that trips us? That would be hard, wouldn't it? Beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things that he possesses. Okay, so then he goes on to parables, okay? Let's go on in verse 22. He said to his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither your body, what you shall put on. Verse 23, the life is more than meat, and your body is more than raiment. And then go down to 31. You seek my kingdom. Put me first. Seek my kingdom and all these things. What? Don't look at those things. Look at me. Look away to Jesus. Looking off and away. That's what we're told in Hebrews. Look off of this realm to his. And he says, I promise you, if you do this, you don't have to worry about that. If you look at Jesus, if you seek his will for your life, you don't have to worry about who's going to pay the bills. Isn't that a nice promise? You don't have to worry about food in the refrigerator. You don't have to worry about anything. I like that. Would you like to live that way? Okay. So what Jesus in his correction was trying to give him something better than an fleshly inheritance. Because, Pete, Nate, there's not many of you, so I have to pick on you. PA. So the fleshly inheritance, we don't know how much that was, but it could run out. Okay? So, Janelle, would God's promise ever run out? If you seek these things, you don't have to worry about those things. Is that a promise good for a year? Forever. So one outlasts the other, so he's taken away the temporary to give him the true. True, are you with me? Making sense? Look off and away. So the love of God was redirecting the sight of this child there. I know this sounds hard, but you're looking at the wrong thing. And let me direct your sight to the true thing, because the true thing will never stop blessing and helping you. You with me? So the snare of this physical realm leads to death, but he's here to deliver us from that snare, and that's his whole life's goal. Now, let's go to Luke 6. Turn with me. Oh, I should be hearing by pages turn. Come on, you guys. There you go. Pages are turning. Okay. We're going to start at verse 20. Remember what we're talking about, looking off and away to Jesus. Verse 20, and he lifted up his eyes to his disciples. Do you know what? This chapter's hard. It has a lot of hard things. But I've been drawn to it over the years because he's always redirecting my sight. And he's leading me from being captivated by the temporal to be drawn into the eternal. So what might sound hard and what might sound difficult, and that's why I say I could approach this, oh, you're all going to go home depressed. That's not my point. Look at where Jesus is coming from. Look where he is. He's here, but this is temporary. And it is for you because Brother Branham tells you, speaking of your soul, you say the same thing, Jesus says, I came from God and I'm going back to God. And he says the same thing as you, speaking of your soul. You came from God and you're going back to God. The message of who is this Melchizedek in this stage of his creation or in this stage of his manifestation shows, excuse me, shows what every son of the faith, every son of Abraham will do the same thing. We're just going through this. This isn't our final home. So what is Jesus saying? Don't act like it is. Okay? There we go. He lifted up his eyes to his disciples and said, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Well, have you ever said somebody that's really struggling and has hardly any money, blessed are you? When you're really poor, do you feel blessed? So whose thoughts are true? Ours or Jesus?
Yes.
Okay. Is he watching over you? Are you going to seek the kingdom of God first? Do you have to worry about groceries? Do you have to worry about bills? Didn't he say he'd take care of the physical needs if we did sought the spiritual things? Is that true? So then he can say this too. Blessed are your poor because your eyes are somewhere else on the kingdom, for yours is the kingdom of God. Now this one's tough. 21. Seth, read verse 21, would you? Well, is that tough? Okay. Blessed are you that you hunger now. I don't remember ever thinking that or seeing that or feeling that way about anybody that was hungry. So is he talking about spiritual hunger or just hunger in general? Both. Who knows? He doesn't define it, does he? But he does say it. You're blessed. Blessed are you that what? Weep what? Okay, what is this person, you guys, who's weeping now? What are they weeping over? What is this? Is this life easy? Is the life that they're living, that they're hungering, the life that is full of sorrows? What is he saying here? This isn't it. No matter what you're enduring, no matter what you go through, this isn't it. There is something far more valuable, far more real than this, if I can just get you off of this to see that. With me? Verse 22. Noah, would you read verse 22? Okay, now notice it's not that you want men to hate you because you did some stupid things. No, why are you being hated? Because of your stand for Jesus Christ, for your stand for truth. Now, if men hate you because of your stand for God, hallelujah. Now, you might have to remind yourself of that because even in school or out in the neighborhoods, people might make fun of you because you are a Christian. You remember what Jesus said. Don't have anything to do with Seth. He's really weird. He's one of those Jesus freaks. Jesus says, that's okay. I'll take it. Right? Read verse 23, Isabel. So, Nate, verse 20 through 23, okay? What's he saying? He's trying to get their eyes, okay? Leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great where? In another realm, in another dimension, with me, in my realm, in heaven. What's he doing all of this for? Don't live in this realm to be satisfied to this realm, to be accepted in this realm, live for that realm because that's the only thing. And even what you have to go through in this realm is going to be worth it all. Leap for joy. That's quite a saying, isn't it? Leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great somewhere else. Okay. Now 24 and 25 and 26. Those are hard. Let's go for them. Nate, would you read 24 through 26?
Sure. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation.
Woo! Which of one of us are not rich? Okay.
Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets.
Let me ask you a question. PA, do you think he's speaking just to the general condition of people where their whole life is involved in what land can I buy? How can I reproduce more crops? How can I get more crops? The typical human life, and he's saying, woe unto you that you have that kind of a mindset. Does that sound reasonable? Pete, do you see anything else there? Those are hard words. But he's saying you're looking at the wrong places. You're spending your energy on the wrong things. You're doing the wrong things. That's not what you're here for. You're here for another realm. So if I'm supposed to run this race looking away and off to Jesus, then here is Jesus in this world. Okay. 27. And 27 through 30. Debbie, would you read those?
Man that asketh of thee, and of him that
Okay. I was sitting in the back upstairs. You know my story. Yeah. I was sitting in the back before service, but it was time to preach, and I just opened my Bible and read, "Give it to every man that asketh of me." Well, shouldn't we judge whether they're worthy? What are they going to spend it on? Does it say anything like that? So I walked out of church that day, and someone met me in the hallway. "Hey, I could use a few $100. I just read this. Guess what was echoing through my mind? Give to everyone. And of him, what does it say? Read the rest of verse 30. And of him, read it out loud with me. And of him that takes away thy goods, ask. Okay, PJ, let's go do that, right? Would you not gulp? So, after I did that, this guy said, "I need a couple $100. Can you help me out?" I said, "Okay." Next service. "Hey, I need a couple bucks, 100 more." I was put to the test. What am I going to do? I just read that. Why did I just read that? And why did I just read that right before that happened to me? Would I obey? Would I do what he said? Am I tied? What does 1 Corinthians 13 say? Though I give all of my money to be what? To be and have not love, I'm. What does Jesus want of me? What is he saying? Okay. Verse 31, Anna. Verse 32. Oh, come on. We don't like those verses, do we? Which one of us like those that like us, guys? Come on. Is there just a bit of humanness still in us? Huh? What did Brother Branham say? Go give your life, love the guy who'd kill you if he could. That's what Jesus did. PA, when's the last time you did that? This is correction. See what I'm saying? This whole thing is he's telling me don't get caught in the human aspect, in the human evaluation of everything of this life, because you will live to defend yourself. You will live to defend your money. Don't do it. Give it away. You will live to honor your reputation. True or not true? And Jesus made himself of no reputation, and he said, "Blessed are you when men shall speak evil of you and revile you and say lies about you." What is the Lord trying to tell us, you guys? We have been consumed way too much, and if we are in this realm and he is calling us to be in another realm, God is taking things like this and say, shouting at us, "This realm is death. As good as it looks to you, don't go there. Don't let it captivate you. Don't let it tie you with its knots. Be free from it. No matter what it might feel like or might hurt, get set free. Because if you're set free from these things of this realm, one of these days, you'll be set free from all things of this realm like Enoch was." True or not true? All right. Verse 33. Eliana? Yeah. Verse 34. Janelle? Okay, verse 34. Nate, when you lend something, I want to borrow your lawnmower. Pete, I want to borrow your car. Yeah, full preferably. But if you lend to them which ye hope to receive, do you know he's stretching us, isn't he? Do you feel stretched in these verses? I feel terribly stretched. That's why I go here sometimes and I say, okay, Lord, correct me. Lord, help me. Because I need to be set free from this place. But every human ounce of human thought and human mind and human logic ties you to the things he's warning you against. And he's saying, don't let it do it. So verse 34, Pete, read it again. And 35, both. Lend and do what? Read that again. Lend and do what? Come on. Does he really mean that? If I'm supposed to run this race and look off to Jesus and I'm supposed to lend and say, don't, you know, just, well, I'm not going to pay back. Okay. Would you? Okay. Okay. Well, hope for nothing again. What's the next phrase?
Your reward shall
be great. And? Okay. How serious is he about these verses, you guys? No, really. If I am supposed to run this race and I am supposed to look away from this world and look to Jesus running this race, and Jesus lives this way, and Jesus taught this way, and Jesus ministered and warned me in this way, I can hear it. Oh boy, he's got a lot of work to do in me. Lord, I just don't know if I can make it. You've already made it, so shut up. Don't go there. Don't let the enemy take you there. Just say, Lord, we're on a journey. It's going to be pretty exciting. It's quite an adventure. And you know what? It might not be very comfortable in that journey here. Uh-uh. True?
True.
But that's okay. Because, Pete, let me go to ask, you know, and you shall be what? Children of what? Pete, are you a child of the highest? Are you going to be a manifested child of the highest? Huh? None, are you? Yeah, yeah, you are, aren't you? Okay, for he is kind to the what? So he's going to tell you, you are as I am. You are as I am. You'll take the abuse. You might be despised. You might be rejected of men. You might be a man of sorrows. You might be a road out of dry ground. That's okay, because this isn't your realm. Now, if that reality right there can sink down into my soul, something will happen by the power of God to release me from the entrapment of this. You getting my sermon now? That's it. If that reality can sink down into my soul, the reality of the truth of his word will not allow me to be entrapped and captivated by things of this realm and will set me free. And I think that's a necessary step, Pete, towards Enoch, don't you? Yeah. Okay. Let's keep going. 36. Mary, 36 through 38.
Be therefore merciful, as your Father also
and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto you. For with the same measure that ye meet with them, it shall be measured to you again.
So he'll put us to the test. And he says, give, 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 forgive, forgive, forgive. Okay, don't condemn, don't condemn. Judge not, judge not. Okay. If I'm going to be judgmental, I'll be judged. If I'm going to be condemning, I'll be condemned. But I'm going to forgive, and I'm going to give. And I'm going to give, and I'm going to give, and I'm going to give. And when people ask me to give, and people say, hey, Pete, can I borrow $1,000? Sure, Dad. Okay. And Dad has dementia. 2 days later, I forgot I borrowed it from you. Ray, would you like that? You go back to this verse and say, Lord, you promised that if I gave, you will give back to me. Huh? For 38, I think let's all read it together. Give, and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, shall it be measured unto you. Verse 39, and he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not here. This is one of my most, this is a favorite. I've circled this for years. Let's read it out loud. 40. For the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. You know what it said? You're going to be like just me. You're going to do just like me. You're going to be in this world just like me. Okay? I'm here to be a servant. I'm here to give. I'm here to turn the cheek. Here. That one hurts. Try this one for a while. Right? I'm rejoicing when people speak ill of you because of the Son of Man's sake. Yeah. But it comes with all kinds of promises. I love that. The disciple is not above his master. Am I his disciple? I can't be above my Lord then, can I? In any way. As he was down here, I have to be down here. Is that sinking in now? That's what this is all about. That's where we started in Hebrews. What is this realm for? Testing. Brother Branham said over and over, he says, this isn't a picnic ground, right? Didn't he say this? This meant this was life wasn't meant to be easy. Didn't he tell us that? So all these things, this is a proving ground. This realm, this physical existence is for testing, it's for trying. But we have an eternity in God's realm of perfect love, okay, and joy and peace and revelation and identification. I'm the Son of God, and nothing can ever hurt you over there. Nothing shall hurt or destroy in all my holy mount. There you go. So what is he yelling at us in this chapter here? Do what you can to not be like the rest of the world. Do what you can to not be trapped down here in this realm. Amen. Let it go. Well, they borrowed. Let it go. No, they took. Let it go. They asked for my coat. Let it go. They asked for my shirt. Let it go. They took my reputation. Let it go. Do you know what he's telling us and everything down here? Let it go. Let go of it. Just let go of it. Okay. You with me? That's this night. All right, musicians, God bless you. Would you come? Let go. Let go. Just let it go. We're not living for down here. None of it. Let go. Who cares? Yep. Oh, I really like your lawnmower. Better than mine, so I probably... Oh, I forgot where you live. You come up and lead us, would you? Bless your heart. Thank you for that song you sing. It's special, by the way. I love that. Okay. God has a wonderful way. Can God have his way?
Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord, for speaking to us today, Lord, and the reminders. That this world is not our home. Lord, you've given us the tools to live here, to live in a, Lord, in a state of joy, to not get caught up in what we see and in our circumstances, Lord, but even the joy and the peace and the long-suffering that you call us to requires eyes that look beyond what we can see, to see you and to live by your Spirit, Lord. Help us, Lord, to just raise up into that state of being, that life, Lord. Just go with us as we go back into the workplace, Lord. Give us those eyes of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.